This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
The DC Defenders open their season at Audi Field coming up at the end of the month. They are doing a red zone home opener. Everyone's going to rock red. They've got all kinds of activations for the kids and the entire family. This is Sunday, March 30th. We're going to have your tickets all week long on Grant and Danny right here at 4 o'clock if you want to sit in the good seats to the game. So right now, congratulations to caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. You are going to win a four-pack of tickets to the DC Defenders home opener Sunday, March 30th at Audi Field. Be there for the Red Zone celebration as the Defenders take on the reigning UFL champions, the Birmingham Stallions. If you have not been to a DC Defenders game, the atmosphere is tremendous. It's just fun. Now, I have said for a long time it pummels that of Northwest Stadium, but this year the atmosphere at Northwest Stadium picked up. Business started to boom again.
I was going to say, yeah.
With Jaden Daniels and the Commanders winning almost all of the games that were played there. But it's just a really, really good way to spend an afternoon. And I like that it's cheaper. It's fan-friendly in that way and family-friendly with the pricing, but also a lot of the things that happen at the stadium. So go enjoy yourself and try to win the four tickets for the fam all week long on Grant and Danny.
That stadium is a gem.
So
it is incredible. So because there's so much stuff just on the opposite side of South Capitol Street, right, our friends at Saltline, and then a bunch of restaurants that are also right there, and the easy walk from a bunch of places to pregame, hang out, eat. When you get into the stadium, all the food trucks are there. The options are great. The sight lines are great. That stadium, to me, whether you care about the UFL or not, is worth the price of admission. It's worth going to check out if you haven't. I love it there.
Yeah, I mean, one of the main tenants is obviously the soccer teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not a big DC United fan, which isn't to say I don't like them. I just don't follow them. But I've been to multiple games over the years, and it's been a lovely evening. You know, you go out and weather's good, sit there. I was in a suite one time and was wined and dined like I was a sports junkie and got to eat all kinds of delicious things. And the other time, I was just sitting in the crowd with my buddy, and both times we had a blast, and I'll go watch a soccer game there anytime.
Yeah, my kid's soccer game, we did a special thing. So one of the dads was born and raised wherever Celtic FC is. I don't know if Celtic's a city. I don't know about it.
Boston. Boston Celtic FC.
Boston. It's your cousin from Boston. No, this is a Scottish Premier League team. I was not. So that's his squad. Like, he was born and raised in it and moved to the States in his 20s. But he's like, this is such a cool thing. DC United's playing this Celtic team that I grew up watching. Let me organize the thing. So they did this really cool stuff for us. The kids got to go down to the tunnel, like high-five the players as they came out onto the field from both teams. They got to go into the DC United locker room and meet a couple of guys. And my son was telling me about a dude named Ben Tekka he was thrilled to meet. But the whole environment was awesome. Like, it's everybody's right there. There's no bad seats in the house. That stadium is, I say it again, is worth the price of admission. It's incredible.
I was in the airport and was behind a family. A young girl had a Trinity Rodman jersey on, and I didn't see who it was yet. I just saw it was like a women's soccer USA jersey. And I said, what jersey is that? And the mom's like, oh, Trinity Rodman. I was like, yeah. She's like, you know her? I'm like, of course. I'm from D.C. She's like, oh, the Spirit. And they had gone to a game last year there. And she was raving about how it was like the best soccer environment that they'd been in. And it was the first time they'd been to a game that was sold out and packed. I mean, they draw crazy numbers over there for the Spirit, local D.C. team, which had, at that time, I don't know if it still does, a bunch of the soccer players from the U.S. women's national team. All right, Danny, before we get into the quarterback conversation I want to have with you, we're live out here, by the way, ahead of the Nats Gala, Whitlow's on the wharf. They haven't rolled out the red carpet. Are they going to do that?
I think they're waiting for it to dry a little bit more before they do it.
Because it's actually now nice out. It's warm. And the sun is finally coming out for the first time today.
They're going to dry some stuff up. I mean, there's still plenty of plates and metal poles to move to disrupt the show.
They have to wait till we are talking to make sure that they start ruining
it. You're going to make the most profound point in the history of sports radio.
Yeah.
And here it comes. I mean, it's literally going to happen here in a matter of seconds.
Because there's no red carpet, but they're setting up the ropes like there will be one.
Yes.
And this is, for years, been a red carpet event. So I'm guessing it's coming.
They're I think it's coming.
Waiting for some of the precipitation that hit the ground to dry up. But, all right, here's my question before we talk QBs. I think I'm feeling myself a little bit too much here, but I want you to be the judge.
Okay.
So Bob Carpenter today went on Masson right at the top of the telecast. Nats were supposed to play the Orioles. He and Kevin Franzen were going to be on the call. The game never happened. It got canceled, as Toby just told you in his update. Right at the start of the telecast, Bob said this will be his final game, his final season in the booth.
He said, all right, douches, I'm out.
20 years with the Nats, 42 years in Major League Baseball.
Amazing.
Unbelievable career. Well, as the news broke, I was literally in a booth next door to that. I went past the TV booth, and him and Franny were talking, and everyone on social media is reacting to the Bob Carpenter news, and I snapped a photo that I posted on Twitter. Here's where I tag in Danny Ruette.
All right.
I think this is one of the silliest photos I've ever taken. It's through a glass panel of a door. It's Bob looking at Franny. I'm using my new phone, which, by the way, the technology for photos and videos on this new iPhone 87 or whatever I have is outrageous. I can zoom in to the moon and see Martians walking around and stuff. Like, no one's ever known if they had them until I got this phone, and now I've cracked the code. They exist.
Like, credit on the news? Like, a photo taken by Grant Paulson in D.C.
This video via his new iPhone. Yeah. I mean, but shtick aside, I can just keep doing my thumbs. You know what you do when you see those girls on your Instagram and you just keep zooming in more and more?
No, I'm not a zoomer. You're a zoomer.
No, you're more of a zoomer.
With all due respect, I don't zoom.
I don't even see girls on my Instagram.
You see a lot. Like, you follow that one person you were showing me earlier. And I asked how come you follow her.
Gracie Hunt?
That's her.
The daughter of the Kansas City Chiefs owner?
Yeah.
I cover the NFL.
Do you?
Yeah.
Is she playing the NFL?
No. She's the daughter of the owner of the Chiefs. I have to be up on all of their philanthropical endeavors.
Do you?
Of course.
For what?
Because I want to do a good job. I have to cover the NFL, dude.
Well, actually, that's in fairness. You can pull the rundown now. We were doing philanthropic Chiefs efforts earlier in the show.
What if we had to start talking about the philanthropic efforts of the Hunt family today?
Then we could start talking about why you follow that person. Recently.
Anyway.
I follow people for fitness.
You don't want to play this game, I promise.
I'll play with you all the time. Everybody I follow is for fitness. For fitness tips.
That's quite an out.
Fitness tips and stretching.
Don't scroll Danny Ruette's following.
More than happy to.
But anyway, here's the point of I popped Toby there.
Yeah, you got to pop.
He enjoyed that.
I mean, you're over there double tapping likes on my thing. It doesn't affect me. I don't care.
No, everything's fine.
It's fine.
We're good.
It's fine.
But this picture I took.
I think
it is silly. Like,
it's a great picture.
I'm going to say something that Eric Bickle wouldn't like, and he's a friend of mine.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
Why do you take shots?
This isn't shots. I think Eric Bickle would look at this, and I think he would say, you and I should take pictures together. We're both silly.
Mm.
You know, like, you should come with me. Mm. I'll give you one of my good cameras I'm not using. You got a future.
He's like, I just got a Nikon OS EXP47 HRC.
Bits aside, this picture to me could win an award. I don't know what award.
A good picture award. I'm not blowing smoke. That's an excellent photo. That really is. Because it's one of those.
It's also over some lady's shoulder.
Yeah, it's super
candid. I don't know who she was or why she was there.
Mm-hmm.
But I shot right over her shoulder. I didn't open the door. This is through.
It's through the looking
glass. Think like third grade classroom.
Right, but that's
a little panel of glass.
What makes it so cool is that it's clearly a candid. Nobody's posing. They're just doing their thing. Bob's listening to Franny, compliment him, basically. It's outstanding. It's a really good picture. And I'm giving you credit where credit is due.
So I'm not over. When I look at it, I'm proud of myself.
It is an appropriate reaction.
You're okay with that?
Yeah.
Right.
You're right. Pat yourself on the back on that one.
I will. I absolutely will. Gracie Hunt, by the way, does great philanthropical work. And you running her down is not okay.
I haven't run anyone down. I'm just not familiar with what she does. What are some of the charities she's been
involved in? Do you want to hear a really funny story?
I do.
Do I want to tell this story? Yeah, why not?
I already teased it, please.
Okay. Super Bowl, Radio Row. I was on Radio Row this year in New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
Monday, first day we're out there. It's like our show starts at 2, which is 1 local. It's probably 8:30 in the morning local. Every day I got there super early so I could tape interviews. The first person I see making the rounds is Clark Hunt, her father, who owns the Chiefs. And he just so happened to sit down at the table like 3 away from us where the Chiefs were doing their morning show. So he's talking to Bob Fesco, good dude who does the morning show out there. And the only reason I did this, and I'm being very, very honest, you're not going to believe me, so it doesn't matter, but I'm just going to tell you.
Okay.
I have this ongoing bit with a guy that I host a show with nationally on the BetMGM network, Alex Gold, who's a midday radio host in Kansas City.
Uh-huh.
And he's a single guy who's about 33 years old. Gracie Hunt is, I don't know how old she is, upper 20s, 30s, whatever. And my bit to him is always, just to be fun, hey, man, you should ask her out. Like, I just tell him this all the time.
That's a quality.
And he's like, "You, what do you want me to do?" And I'm like, ask her out. So every time I talk to him, which is every weekend, I ask, like, hey, man, any update with Gracie?
Any progress there?
And he's annoyed by it, right? And he doesn't like it. But my joke to him is, he's like, of course not. We don't date. And I always say, it's because you haven't asked her out. It's kind of hard to date someone.
Can she go on a date with you if you don't ask her out?
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And so this has been going on. Like, if you look at our feed, the most recent thing I was texting him was, hey, man, just wanted to know if there's anything, any update.
So this I like the sincere things, right. Like, hey, man.
So this is constant.
Yeah.
So I see her dad, and she's, like, trailing behind him.
Oh, no.
On Radio Row.
Yep.
So I just go up to her, and I'm like, Gracie, how are you? Grant Paulson, how's it going?
No.
She's like, hey, how are you? And I did the bit that you hate.
Oh.
Where I'm like, I act like we are long-lost friends. I haven't seen you. Like, how's everything going? Everything good? You know?
I haven't seen you in person ever.
But overly comfortable, as if we've known each other for a long time. And I do the, like, man, Chiefs Invitational, huh? You guys just get here every year. So she's like, ha-ha, that's funny. So I ask her.
That's funny. Do you have any single friends named Alex?
No, so I ask her. I say, yeah. Hey, can I interview you for my radio show? And she's like, me? And I'm like, yeah, I'd love to talk to you. And she's like, for DC? And I'm like, yeah, you know, just talk to you about. She's like, what would you ask me about? And she's like, hold on. And she goes and gets, like, the PR guy walking around with her dad. She brings him over. Now it's weird. And she's like, he wants to talk to me. Can we do that or something? And he's like, yeah, sure. Let me talk to Gracie. So then they walk away, and they have a little powwow. So then, like, 5 minutes of them talking goes by, and they come back over. She's very nervous. And he goes, what are you going to ask her? And I said, it's going to be the easiest interview she's ever done. He's like, well, give me the questions. This is not how you do it, by the way. But I never plan on airing this. You'll notice that none of our listeners ever heard this.
Have we heard a Gracie Hunt interview?
No, there was never a moment where I was going to air this interview. But I was like, I'm going to ask her about Patrick Mahomes being awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
I'm going to ask her about the Chiefs winning every year.
We pretty much do, yeah.
And I'll ask her about all the great work the Hunts are doing in the community. Again, this is not for – I can't tell them that I'm doing a bit.
We never intend to air this.
I couldn't say I'm recording a quick interview so I can send it to my buddy, who I always say should date her so that he could laugh.
My plan, Mr. Hunt, if I may, is to troll my friend Alex about dating your daughter.
Because the shtick is that –
You'll have had more interaction with her than he did.
You get it.
100% I get
it. I'm ahead of you in talking to Gracie Hunt. That was
scoreboard,
the whole point.
You have more time with Gracie Hunt than he does.
You live
it.
In Kansas City.
Yep.
You guys are single, good-looking people.
Yep.
What are you doing?
I'm married
with children.
Yeah.
And I've already done one interview with her. Like, what's going on?
What are you doing?
So anyway.
Who was I'm blanking on her name. At the Super Bowl, who used to sit with Colin Cowherd that we interviewed?
Christine Leahy.
It was the same deal where they're like, what are you going to ask? And we're like, come on, man. Like,
so, bro.
We're not here to, like, to sabotage
So they
anybody.
Said, we don't want any questions about Taylor Swift.
I said, okay,
no problem. They said, we don't want any questions about her relationship with Travis Kelce. I was like, no problem. And there were one or two other things I couldn't ask about. One of them was, like, the stadium, as if I'm on that beat, you know?
Tell us about the stadium.
Again, I just so badly wanted to be like, I need just 27 seconds on Mahomes so I can just send an audio file to my buddy.
You should have done a quick video where it's like, she just got in on the bit and pretended. Be like, sure, I'd love to date Alex. And then, like,
exactly.
Make that, like, a real thing.
So I did the interview with her. It was, like, 3 minutes long. Maybe that's probably way too long. Probably, like, 2 minutes and 7 seconds long. Like, nine
So that's
questions.
Why you follow her.
And so my point is, I follow her, and it's more credible to follow than any of the people that you follow.
Oh, I see.
See what I'm saying?
No, yeah, I mean, I
don't think you've interviewed any of them formally.
No, I never, and that wouldn't come up. But, like, when I need food ideas, I need exercise ideas, I need fitness tips, whether it's breath work and yoga.
You could follow fitness men, too.
I do.
Not that many of them.
You want to see my saves?
I'll show you
my saves. Look at these.
I think you follow some non-men.
A lot of dudes with low body fat percentages.
There's a couple. Do you think there's as many of those kind of
workers?
Where's
your saves? You go in here?
I'm not sure.
Save. Look at this.
Look for Kyle Finnegan. He's got 40 of them.
Look at these. Look at all these all posts.
No.
It's just dudes.
I get that you're saving those.
It's just dudes.
Do you follow those guys or do you save them?
I follow some of them.
Why do you follow?
Well, some of them are aggregators, right, where it's like I don't want to be on weird lists, but, like, they come up my feet all the time. Like, this is a chest blaster. Look at this. Look at this guy.
A what?
A chest blaster. Look how in shape this guy is. Right? This right here is a full body workout. This guy's got, like, 2% body fat. Right? You want to double tap on that?
I sure. Go ahead and double tap. You want to leave that one, will you?
Double tap right there. I heard it again.
Why don't you follow him?
Why follow Jim Gurus?
It seems like there's a threshold of there's certain influencers who are in the gym that you seem to follow.
Yeah.
There's others that you just favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know.
Okay. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We didn't get into the quarterback thing.
Quarterback.
I want to talk about the quarterback carousel still spinning. Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson looking for homes. We'll do that next on the Fan. With Danny, I'm Grant. Welcome back to the Fan and to G&D Out and About. Whitlow's on the Wharf. Terrific little sports bar overlooking a red carpet event the Nats are throwing this evening ahead of their annual gala. All the players get dolled up, bring their plus ones, and head on in with their loved ones to celebrate an evening of Nationals baseball in the community and to raise a lot of money for charity.
It's awesome.
We're honored to be here, and we're always thrilled to be a small part of the event. Danny, if you're watching us on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube, has a lovely sports jacket. Oh, I got to say, you can't really tell from
the video how good the jacket is. It's brighter than you'd think right here. It doesn't feel like I'm in the sun, but it's playing very bright on your stream.
This color, which is beautiful, looks exactly like the new City Connect jerseys.
Yeah, what'd you think of those, City Connects?
I love them. I am not ready to go public with my actual take.
Are you about to offer a Scalder trophy?
Well, it's definitely a Scalder. I'm not going public with this take yet.
Andrew Golden did.
When I go public with this take, my take's going to be that I like them better than the Grays with the cherry blossoms.
Wrong.
I will not be saying that publicly yet, but I love them. This color is gorgeous. Whatever that blue is.
Yeah, whatever. It is
powder,
nice.
Carolina blue.
I'm using words like cobalt without really knowing if that's right or not.
The gradient with the streets that get you lost that you
sure.
people, Danny, you people that live in D.C. and can only go in certain directions.
What do you mean, you people?
Certain hours of the day that you love. I think that's really cool. I think they are awesome. I really, really like them.
So I usually expect to hate these things because uniforms are fine. We should stop throwing money grabs and alternate things out there in general.
At Uniform Danny. At Uni Watch Ruya.
Yeah, so in general, I despise it. I can't stand that sort of stuff. Every once in a while, something sneaks past me. Those cherry blossom grays that spawn T-shirts, those uniforms were just outstanding. I mean, as good as you're going to find. They were clean and awesome, and it was just exactly right. That's the best alternate thing that I've ever seen, right? I lived through the like future jerseys when like the Rockies would wear their future jerseys, and like they were like cut like the New Kids on the Block used to cut their jeans. Weird old timey jersey days. I've done all the crap. All right, those things were incredible. This has some elements of good. The color is awesome. I'm with you. There's a lot that looks good. It's one of those where you get up close and you go, "Oh, it's a map of the city." Oh. That's nubs. The city map is nubs.
It's so faint. It doesn't need to be anything.
That's the thing. From far away, you can barely even see it. It looks like accent. When
you
get up close, you go, oh, there's the Farragut Metro Station.
So what? You'll never notice it.
There's L'Enfant Plaza.
Now, I'm not going to say publicly that the WSH on the gray jersey was always a little bit weird to me.
Oh, come on.
I'm not going to say that publicly. I actually did love those,
yeah.
But acknowledge that the WSH is kind of weird.
No, this is it. Those things were perfect.
They're great. They're beautiful is the word I would use, which is always what you want with a uniform, something to be beautiful and lovely. But the gray is no more Nationals baseball than the powder blue of these new ones. People are like, this isn't even a color the Nationals are. And the pavement gray
and then that guy got invited to so many parties.
Yeah,
that fun guy sounds like an awesome dude.
But yes, the cherry blossom kit was amazing. If you're asking me to run it down, you've come to the wrong place. But this new one, this is the most beautiful color that they have had.
The color is great.
I think they're going to look great on the field. I cannot wait to see them. I will not go public with my take because it would be irresponsible to do that, Andrew Golden. until I see them worn in a game. I have to see. Sometimes, I mean this, like, yep. Jerseys can look a lot better when
on
a team
the rack,
wears
sure,
them.
Yeah.
I still hate the Commanders' white jerseys with the non-burgundy gradient numbers.
Yeah.
But they do look better on the field than they look on the mannequin on the stage behind Dan Snyder. Now, most things look better when Dan Snyder's not there.
When you're not standing next to Dan Snyder, it looks nice.
But they went from, I'm not giving them full credit here, they went from like a 2 on the mannequin to a maybe a 4.5 or a 5 on the field. I need to see the blue on the field. I thought the grays played perfectly. I love them. But in the end, the take I'm not ready to quite release yet is that the grays are going to be like an 8.5
Man.
And that the blues could be a 9
That's unreal. Who do you think of when you think of the gray jersey? Like, first player pops
Juan
in your head.
Juan Soto. I bought a Juan Soto. The only Nats jersey I own.
The only non-hipster jersey.
Actually, I own a Bo Porter, actually. Third base coach, Bo Porter.
Oh, no, we know Bo Porter, yeah.
Game used Bo Porter. I spent, like, $3 on that. That was a bad purchase.
Respectfully, it was. You know what I mean? Like, that wasn't a smart one.
I went to the game used section in the concourse an hour before a game one time and said, what is your most obscure jersey? And the guy's like, I got a Matt Grace and I got a Bo Porter.
Matt Grace pitched a lot of games for the Nationals.
Rubber arm, man.
I got a Tim Redding used jersey.
So I have a Bo Porter jersey at home, and then I have my Soto gray jersey.
Which one of these is not like the other?
That's the last Nats jersey, and I don't really wear baseball jerseys at all anyway. Mm-hmm. Just kind of have it there to hang in my closet.
Sure.
The only sweaters I wear are hockey. I don't wear jerseys for any other sport. I don't know why. That's a weird thing about it.
Well, most of the time you're covering, honestly. Like,
yeah,
if you're going to the
true.
Press box, you're not wearing a jersey. You but press box it for the football guys.
I go to more baseball games as a fan than any other sport just because of the number of games. I would never wear a jersey in a million years.
Like, okay.
I can tell you right
could
now.
Could you do a jersey?
No.
A t-shirt? Could do that, yeah.
Eh.
You could do that. You could do that.
If I had one, you're right.
You could do that.
You're right. I would do that. But, yeah, I will probably not wear a baseball jersey again in my life. Hockey, I'll wear a sweater this week.
There's a great chance you're wearing one this week.
There's a 98% chance.
Like, who's that fogging up the glass? Oh, it's Grant Paulson in a Caps jersey.
So when I'm ready to release my take, I'll let you know. But I just want everyone to know that the new jerseys are fire.
I like some elements of the new jersey. Better than, A, the state of New Jersey. B, the color is great. I think they're going to look trim. I think it's going to look like a nice thing. You know, sometimes like a color can look baggy. I know it doesn't make any sense, but I think you know it when you see it, right? Where it doesn't look like it's flattering or form fitting or whatever for these incredibly in shape dudes. I think you're going to see it play very well. The only issue I have is the map. I think that map bit stinks. I'd rather have a majestic
you
map.
You got to get over the map.
No, I can't.
The map thing is irrelevant.
No, it's so relevant.
People don't even remember the gradient on the gray was like flowers and, you know.
Of course
like
they do. It's the cherry blossom.
Yeah, of course. But I'm saying it was such an irrelevant thing in the grand scheme. Unless you're right up on it, you don't even know what it looks like.
Oh, no. Because all the T-shirts that it spawned, where it's like, here comes the bloom. And they're not talking about Chaim Bloom, the GM, right? They're talking about the bloom of the blossom. The whole point is they were the blossom. They were known as the blossom jerseys.
Who's Chaim Bloom the GM of?
Is he still with the Red Sox? Or has he moved on?
Well, that was a trivia question and a trick question. He's no longer with Boston.
Oh, there you go.
I do think in the end, not that you want to talk about Chaim Bloom right now, he's like a president after he's out where people go, you know, he actually wasn't that bad.
You know, he's seen the note he was doing.
Look at that system, man. They got 3 of the top 10 prospects in baseball ready to graduate.
Where is he now? Where's Chaim Bloom right now?
I don't think he's in baseball.
Okay.
Hit it. That was a tough run, man.
Yeah.
If you're a former stud with the Tampa Bay Rays, you probably flamed out.
So do you remember when the Nats traded Juan Soto and there was a little Chiron on the bottom?
I beg your pardon. I apologize. John Mozeliak has been named. He is the successor to John Mozeliak.
In St. Louis?
Cardinals.
Oh, there you go.
So good for Chaim Bloom.
They need a little redirection there. But anyway, but remember when the Nats traded Juan Soto, and we did a lot of content about it, as you'd imagine, there was a Chiron where Mike Rizzo had to like answer questions from the media, which is what you're supposed to do. And at the bottom, it said, traded Juan Soto. Like, that's literally, like, what it was like. Mike Rizzo traded. And I'm like, he did other things. But that's what you're going to be known for a little while? Like, for Chaim Bloom, it's traded Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
That's like, he did so much other stuff, but.
But he got way, 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 way less back.
You traded Mookie Betts, though, didn't you?
Way, 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 way less back.
Yeah, preparing.
But anyway, letter grade for the New Jersey, for the City Connect?
Ooh, good question by you. The If the grays are an A+, which they are, those are Bs. That's a B. Some very good elements.
So I actually thought there was a very positive response largely.
I thought so too.
To the Nat City Connects. The people that are killing them, I think they're killing them because the previous iteration was so popular.
Yeah.
It's like following a legend. You got to coach Alabama, Mr. DeBoer, right after Nick Saban. And Nick Saban is a better man than you are.
R.I.P. Phyllis.
But I think if the grays never existed, people would love these blues.
I agree with you on that. Like the blues are. I thought I saw a good pop.
Big shoes to fill.
Yeah, I saw a good reaction to the blues.
Here's my gripe on the rolling out of what they did. Mm-hmm. I need more James Wood from the Nationals.
I see.
Please understand who the best player is in your clubhouse, who the biggest star of the future is for this organization. Now, I'm not going to ever be upset about putting C.J. Abrams out there. I couldn't find James Wood as the image circulating anywhere.
Yeah.
I saw one James Wood picture in the new City Connect jersey nationally yesterday. The same number of Josh Bell pictures that I saw in the
new
City
Connect.
And
with all due respect to Josh Bell, who I admire a great deal, I'm with you. More James, please.
Everything was Abrams. Everything. Now, CJ's a good player. Do people know what James Wood could be? I mean, do we understand that we're talking about a guy that could win an MVP award or two before he leaves for free agency with Scott Boras in a handful of years? I kid, but this guy is one of the most talented young superstars in the game, and the Nats need to start marketing him as such. They absolutely have to get ahead of this. And I've been talking to people about this, and they're like, well, maybe he's not as known or as recognizable. And that's precisely my point.
That's the issue.
Inexcusable. I'm walking by Nats Park today. Where is my billboard the size of a parking garage with James Wood's face? Remember the old Max poster where he had the two different color eyes?
Yes.
I want just a sweaty, just worked out, beating up with perspiration, like James Wood staring right into the camera with a dark background that is the size of one of those giant parking garages that the Learner Zone over by the ballpark. Where is that?
Where's my James Wood at Contact live action poster that takes up the entire city block?
Do a James Wood bobblehead every Friday night until the season ends.
Yeah.
Like, I need to market the heck out of him. So I loved the City Connect jerseys. They're amazing. And I do think eventually will go down as being better than the very popular grays. I do believe that. I'm not ready to quite give you that take, but I'm starting to kind of walk out.
You're formulating,
on the diving board.
I can see what's going on.
I just need more James Wood in those jerseys circulating at once, immediately.
We agree on the Wood thing. You know what was interesting, just as a quick side, as we're kind of going down this rabbit hole with the Nats? We heard this, and then we kind of saw it in person, too. Dylan Cruz is so wildly popular in that regard. Like, the clamoring for autographs down there at spring training for Dylan Cruz was greater than any other National.
Not even close.
But I don't hate that, by the way. Dylan Cruz is, I think, going to be a stud, and he's got a ton of charisma, and he's going to be fun. But I just thought that was fascinating. Don't you? Of for whatever reason, that was the guy more than anybody else, whether it was Wood or Gore or Abrams or Irvin or name anybody else. He was the dude that everybody was kind of, oh, my God, it's a Beatle, it's a rock star. It was Dylan Cruz, which I just think is interesting. Because, again, I like him, too.
I think there's a couple of reasons for that. I think, number one, he is a nationally renowned star from his time at LSU.
Yeah.
Just from a sheer baseball standpoint, he was on television every single night on ESPN
the
College World Series. And SEC baseball has actually gotten huge in terms of television. And so I think the number of hours he was on TV while James Wood was playing at, say, IMG Academy or in the minor leagues in Fredericksburg, it's just different when you and Paul Skeens are the face of college baseball for a couple of years. So that's number one. And then number two, James Wood is a very reserved, he is a very shy, I would even say. I don't know if that's the right word, but like, quiet.
Not here to bring attention to himself.
Right. Yeah. Dylan Cruz is not a guy that's like a me guy in any way.
Right.
But there is like a little bit of an aura and an energy to him, mainly by how he plays.
Yeah.
Where he's hair on fire, everything's a million miles an hour. And James Wood at 6'7 looks like he's walking and then crashes into the wall.
Uh-huh.
There's not a whole lot of effort. It's like a boat that just glides across the water. Dylan Cruz, about 6 foot, right? He's moving his legs a lot more to go the same distance. And I just think there's a style of play with him that feels like there, this added energy. But he was the number two pick. James Wood was just outside of the top 50. I just think Cruz is a more known player in terms of like fame, even though in my opinion,
sense.
Cruz is going to be really, really good and be an all-star.
Yep.
James Wood, to me, has a chance to win MVP awards with his power. That's where I'm at on James Wood.
That's the ceiling,
and I would have Cruz, for that matter, on all of the posters too.
Yep.
Dylan Cruz should be on a billboard as well. But I need to turn that up to 11 as quick as possible. I don't see enough jerseys of the kids at
Nats Park.
I'm
with you, actually.
I don't see enough jersey shirts on the 8-year-olds that are walking around. It's still Zim and Doolittle.
Yeah, the World Series heroes.
We need to work overtime to make sure that happens.
Because the point of this year, to me, is the kids. And there's, there are a couple guys that are, maybe outside that super-duper core group, whether it's Garcia and Ruiz and people that are part of the plan. But I'm thinking about, it's Wood, it's Cruz, it's Abrams, and it's McKenzie Gore. That's kind of the point. The reason to go to the yard every day. You're going to see something from some of the other guys, too. I mean, I mentioned Garcia. I think there'll be some pleasant surprises. Guys like Paul DeJong and, the variables like Nathaniel Lowe and company and just Jake Irvin sustained. There's plenty of good storylines. But to me, the whole point of this is if the ceiling of those four guys, that group of four that I mentioned, if they reach it, you're talking about a team that nobody wants to play in really, really short order. And that, to me, is the point of this year. And I need a little bit more on that. I'm with you.
We really should talk about quarterbacks at some point.
Quarterbacks.
Or not. We're just having fun.
We're just kicking it.
Washington Nationals gala tonight. Everybody's getting all dressed up and ready to walk the red carpet. We will be here for you. In fact, we're going to try to put Toby to the test here with his laptop to see if we can somehow stream down the red carpet so that you guys can watch on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube. It won't be great video because we're not Channel 7 with a camera.
With Scott Abraham.
But we'll have a laptop camera zooming down the red carpet so that you guys can see everyone all gussied up. Grant and Danny with you on The Fan. In about 20 minutes, Jerry Brewer, the Washington Post, who's covering the Terps out west, is going to stop by. You're listening to The Fan. At the Wharf. We're live on site getting ready for red carpet festivities. Players will be strolling down the red carpet in just a few. Have you ever done an actual red carpet?
Yes.
Where you walked and stopped and talked to people? And what was the reason if you did?
A couple different times I've done it. And it was strange that obviously nobody wanted to talk to me. But it was a cool thing I did. Years ago, I was part of a TV pilot with the New York Television Festival. And they gave everybody kind of this really cool experience where they did this sort of red carpet event associated with it. Even though nobody was famous, it was like, hey, this is the taste of what it could be like, right? I had a supporting role in a show. When I had a TV show on Animal Planet for a while, for the premiere, they did kind of a modified version of that where they had a bunch of, some were stuffed, some were fake, some were real. Like the animal trainer that would go on Carson late night brought the iguana or brought the Gila monster or whatever.
Yeah.
So I had a red carpet for that. But not like this, or like an actual celebrity,
I've been here and I've seen events like this, right? Mm-hmm. Where there's a red carpet in name and we walk down it, but never an actual Hollywood type deal.
Mm-hmm.
Super Bowl week in Nollins, several weeks back, Jaden Daniels was being honored at some random venue, probably 20 minutes outside the city.
Yep.
And so we went out to it, and I had no idea really what we were getting into. But it turned out that it was kind of a big deal. It was a lot of actors, actresses, singers, gospel and otherwise, and Daniels was getting an award athletically. But it was the first time I've ever been in that setting where I would say I went full BDK, where they had all the media set up, and basically there's a little, and I mean little, think about, barely enough room for you to stand.
Uh-huh.
Where it was mapped off where it says, say, 106.7 The Fan. And you stand in your little square. 3x3.
Mm-hmm.
You can't move out of that. You just have to stand right there, 3x3 area. And the players in this case, or the singers, come walking by, and someone, a handler, will be in front of them. And so you think about a movie premiere, and it's Miles Teller.
It's a movie with.
They'll just have a printed sheet, 8x11, off of a computer turned sideways and it just says Miles Teller, and they'll walk down and then they stop and like, Miles, take a picture, Miles, look over here. But everyone around me, it was whoever the, and they're very famous people, I just don't know them. Gospel singer or
who's a famous in worlds that we're not in.
Actress in a TV show or whatever. And they're all stopping. And all I cared, I was there for one guy. So when Jaden came by, he walked past everybody pretty much.
Oh, this was the interview, the most in-depth interview in show history.
Yeah, this was the one. Do we still have that somewhere, Darius? I'd love to let people hear
that. We could get out early and just play it.
Just for the rest of the
Yeah, we could leave
program.
Right now and play it. Because it was.
This was the big exclusive one-on-one that we got with Jaden Daniels. Can't call it exclusive, I suppose. As he did do 132 interviews. Yeah.
Jaden, how's it going? Great. Thanks for stopping by.
Right.
I mean, it was almost that long.
I mean, we'll get to that in a second. But it was just, I've never, it's a wild scene.
Yes, it is.
Think about it from a movie setting. You're just walking, stopping, picking randomly a few people to talk to for 10 seconds at a time. And they'll say something like, hey, what was your favorite scene? Or what's it like to work with Danny Ruye? And they'll answer the question for a moment, which is nice. Then they keep it moving. That's not what I needed to do.
That's not what you're doing.
And there was a little bit of a loss in the translation, right. I think, of what kind of interview we were looking for. But I say all this to say that was my first true red carpet experience. But I've never walked one and been the guy being yelled at for pictures. I don't think I ever will. The way that my life's trending doesn't seem like we're headed in that direction.
Well, I mean, again, you never know.
I guess here's our best chance. Yeah. Actually, you answer this, and I'll see if we agree. What is the best chance that we end up doing a red carpet event where we're getting that treatment?
It would be that's a great question. It would have to be something similar to the Junkies, right? So like the Junks, when they did, you know, their 25th year or like their whatever they're on now, year 41 or however many years, and there's like an event, and then like there's some local media, and they kind of do a red carpet sort of deal for them, kind of put on like that, right? It would be something like that, but it wouldn't be like a real red carpet.
So here's mine.
Yeah.
It's going to be a real red carpet. You and I have a buddy that becomes, longtime listener, let's say, maybe more than a buddy.
Okay.
Becomes like a movie producer or something. Ends up putting us in the movie, not as actors, but like you hear our voices like the Junkies were in that Jack Black movie. I think it bombed. It was like D-Train or something.
No, it was a smash hit.
Right. Yeah. But not because of the Junkies. The Junkies killed it. I can't remember the name of the movie.
You saw the Rotten Tomatoes thing. I don't like the Junks, and that's what happened.
But I think somehow someone hits us up on Instagram and is like, hey, I've been listening to the show for a while. I have this movie coming out.
I'm producing a movie.
We need, you know, radio background.
Yeah, there you go.
And then normally you wouldn't get invited, but like in this hypothetical, now we as extras in the movie also get to walk the red carpet. That's kind of my thought.
I smell what you're cooking there.
Yeah. This was the Jaden Daniels interview that we did in New Orleans.
Do we have enough time? Do we clear it?
People are still talking about this months later.
But Jaden, you're one of the biggest stars in New Orleans over these last couple days. Everybody wants to talk to you. What's the experience been like so far?
It's been wild just to come out here and come back to Louisiana. Obviously, with some of my guys and my brothers, but you know, it's a bittersweet moment being here. You know, obviously one game away from the Super Bowl, but it's fun. It's fun and exciting.
Have you had a chance to take inventory yet on just how amazing the season was and all that you accomplished?
A little bit, but not really. You know, I think once football season's done, I'll be able to really reflect.
When you look back at your year, what are you proudest of?
Just the excitement as a whole team that we brought back to the DMV area.
There you go.
Where's the rest of it? What happened?
46 seconds with Jaden Daniels.
Did something happen?
What's amazing about that is you had to try not to get an interview with him. and we tried so hard to get one. But he did 800 interviews over a week, but not locally with the DMV, I will say. They were very national, those interviews. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Jerry Brewer covered the Terps out west in Seattle as they punch their ticket to the Sweet 16. We'll talk to the terrific columnist from the Washington Post next. Plus, the red carpet's about to get underway. You can check out the scene on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page right now. Got a camera looking at the red carpet setup. We will have players stopping by to chat with us in the next hour right here on Grant and Danny.